Way down in Missouri, where I heard this melody when I was a little fellow on my mammy's knee.
Welcome to Show Me Missouri, the history of Missouri, one county at a time. We are here today in Crawford County, kind of just a little to the east off dead center of the state of Missouri, about right in the middle, right down 44, Highway 8. If you're any way familiar heading to Farmington, to Jeff City, or anywhere in there around Rolla, you've been to Crawford County. You've been to Crawford County. If you went the Hoosaw River, camping, floating, hunting, you can do about anything you'd want a Missouri man would want to have to enjoy is right here in Crawford County. And we're here at the historic, I think it's easy to call this building historic, Crawford County Courthouse with the county clerk, John Martin. Thank you for the hospitality, sir.
Not a problem whatsoever.
Crawford County was formed on January 23rd, 1829, the 34th county, cut out of Gasconade, at 744 square miles, named for U.S. Senator William Crawford of Georgia. As time went by, the first settler come to about Steelville, they had on record, was William Harrison in 1821. There is a very historic feel to this downtown, Mr. Martin, how it's put together. You guys have managed to keep it nice and updated, but keep that kind of old-time downtown feel to it.
Yeah, the city of Steelville works hard at maintaining the old feel, mm-hmm. as you call it. The main street here is State Highway 19, rolls through town, takes a curve as mm-hmm. soon as you enter the town near the high school. And as you go through town, you see all these old buildings. Across the street from the courthouse here, there are two old buildings. One houses the Department of Motor Vehicles, currently mm-hmm. the local office, and a law office. And it was purchased as a law office by the Bell family, who is still around in the neighborhood. They own quite a bit of acreage around here. And the other one next to it is also a law office / apartment. I think there's an apartment upstairs, but they were hotels and stores. And mm-hmm. now the one on the right-hand side, and you can probably see out the window there, the one on the right-hand side was the first major hotel in town, apparently. And
wow.
Yeah, at that time, Main Street, or 19 as we know it now, dead-ended where the curve comes in to go south on 19 and straight out 8.
Yeah.
So there were... There was a store and I think maybe a grocery store or some livery down there at the end, and that's where town stopped. Now, I've been told the big flood of 1896 or 98, whenever that was, and I apologize to Steelvillians who are listening. I'm a Cuban. I'll try to get your story right. Much of the face of the town changed after that flood. And even at that time, the Yadkin Creek here immediately behind the courthouse, the bank swelled. And I was digging out in the front yard here in the courthouse one day, three or four years ago, we were going to place a marker. And I dug up old railroad spikes from when they had floated down from the railroad, which is still up on top of the hill. So the water crested quite a bit at that time and just really brought the ruination of the town, and they rebuilt what they could, and they've kept things very nice. And there are some storefronts here in these original buildings that have been repurposed, and there are some that are still empty and gives you that empty feeling. And I'd like to see, Steelville be able to have the business it is deserving and have those storefronts brought back to life. Mm-hmm. And we get a lot of people down here during the summer, especially for, you mentioned the Hoosaw River and floating. Well, we've got the Merrimack down here, mm-hmm. and you can float north part of the county. You can float on the Gasconade, and you can float the Cotaway down here. But the camping, and the floating liveries, they run ATV rides and those types of things. We get people from all over during the summertime and the good weather, and they like to stroll up and down Main Street and see what there is to offer in their off time. Even on rainy days, you get people kind of walking up and down the street, yep. checking it out. But traffic gets pretty hectic. We're a small area, and we enjoy seeing the out-of-towners come in and have a good time. But
enjoy seeing them go sometimes, too.
Well, our sheriff's department is rather active and proactive in many cases. And thank God we got a sheriff who knows what he's doing. They maintain some good order around here. They don't stand for too many shenanigans, but we do offer some fun, and we welcome people to come down and have it.
Well, as a shenanigan participant myself, I'm glad to hear you yell out just a little bit. As time went by, the first county commission was held, at a place called Liberty Hill on January 29th, 1829. As they put it together, there was the first commissioner, William Montgomery, Randy Lane, and John Duncan. They held it up at, like I said, Liberty Hill, and they decided on a county seat, and they wanted to put it square up in the center of the county. And so Steelville was created kind of to host the county seat. Put together, there was a guy, William Phillips, put together a large chunk of, kind of took in one of the first checks the county ever cut. Before they even picked a courthouse spot, they had an interesting story. It's so neat when you read the history of the state. Some of these folks are kind of get left behind and not talked about, like Devil Dick Bowles from down in Oregon County we learned about. And there's a guy named William Phillips. He presented the first check that Crawford County cut. They put out at the first meeting, they said, okay, we'll give you $1 for every wolf you kill. Well, folks come from miles around and thought that was a heck of a deal. He brought 258 wolf scalps in, and they almost liquidated the treasury, paying him off for killing that many wolves.
And we still don't have a big wolf problem around here.
Thank William Phillips for that. Yeah. Yep, he eradicated the wolf population, it sounds like, in about 3 months. But then they were looking for a spot to set the county seat on. And December 16th, 1835. James Steele had purchased 40 acres, actually 400 acres from the government. He sold 40 of it here on where we're standing right now for $50. They sold the lots for $12 each to put the first courthouse together. And while it didn't expressly say it, I guess Steeleville is named for James Steele.
It is, yes, absolutely. James Steele is the namesake of this particular town. And the odd thing about choosing the center of the county at that time, you know, Crawford County was rather large at that time. And I'm not sure, you know, they could have thrown a dart at the map and gotten any farther off from the center of the county as it existed at that time. But from 1831, when this county first started, it stretched from the center of as we know it now. So basically it stretched from modern day Steelville to the Kansas border.
Yep.
And it was a huge county carved originally out of St. Charles County. But as the years went on and we got kind of cut up, the county as we know it today was firmly established by, I think, 1870, 1869, 1870, mm-hmm. somewhere around there. And, Mr. Steele had a big hand in developing this area. And before then, Cuba had been established – excuse me, another town. It's north of Steele here. That's where I grew up.
Tell me how that originated, the name of
Cuba.
Well,
that's kind of a and I'll get this wrong, and again apologize to the patriarchs and matriarchs of the Cuban society. There are a couple folks on the east end of what is modern day Cuba. The west end of town. Had a little spit of land. Ridgetop Farms now sits on there. And they had a dispute over what to name their little area. And one had a wife named Amanda, and one didn't want to name it Amanda. I believe they legend has it they stuck a stick in the ground and let it fall on one side of a line or the other, or flipped a coin. They chose up, and Amanda became it. The name of this little place. And so the Amanda Post Office was right there. And as revolution over the years grew in the island nation of Cuba, there were several local residents who financially helped out that cause. And eventually the town became established as Cuba. It is the largest town in our county. Population is somewhere, I want to say, north of 4,200 right about now in that general vicinity.
And right on the interstate.
Right on the interstate, yeah. I-44 stretches, and I apologize for the vagaries here. I'm not an exact, you know. I am an historian, but this is not my milieu.
If you said the population of Steelville, you could probably hit it on the head. Here we're taping this here in the middle of March. But the population of Steelville gets quite a bit bigger in the summer.
So absolutely.
Them vagaries kind of come in handy.
They don't get to vote, though. Yeah. We don't let them vote. I want to clear that up. We run some of the tightest voting facilities around here in the state. I'll vouch for that. But, yeah, Cuba's population somewhere around 4,200 right about now, has generally always been the largest town, I don't want to call it a city, town in the county. I-44 stretches approximately 25 miles or so within the county from the western edge of modern Franklin to the eastern edge of modern Phelps County.
Kind of clips Sullivan and just outside St. James.
It does clip Sullivan, yes.
Bit.
The extreme western point of Sullivan, oddly enough known as West Sullivan, is within the border of Crawford County. And if anybody travels along 44 and is familiar with our area, we encompass the county line begins just east of the Sullivan Hospital. So we have the hospital. We've got Sullivan's Theater. We got a couple lumber yards there that do okay. And then as you travel west on 44, you'll go through Bourbon and Leesburg and Cuba. And just past Cuba, 4 or 5 miles or so, is the Phelps County line, I believe. Now, there are some addresses in St. James that are outlying addresses that belong in Crawford County. There aren't too awful many of them. I mean, a handful, quite literally. But we have our fair share of spanned population around here. There's no one way to treat everybody around here.
Well, I won't jump ahead now. Everybody's driven through Bourbon before. Some folks probably even last night stayed a little longer in Bourbon than they planned to. But give me the name. Is Bourbon just named after the drink?
You know, that's as good a guess as any.
Because it's kind of spelled a little bit French, you know.
Bourbon, yeah. And, you know, Missouri is full of French history.
Yep.
I could well imagine that French trappers or some sort of French settlers came there and stopped. And again, I would just imagine that. I don't know. Same way German immigrants would have settled around Hermann on the river,
yep.
That type of thing. But we have we've had our share of immigrants stay. My family is full of immigrants. But bourbon, yeah, I don't know. That's something I'd have to delve into and look up.
Well, let me talk about the building we're in right now, the first courthouse. The first one they put together, I thought it was an interesting thing. Pardon me. They put together and decided, well, we're going to have a county seat here. We're going to put together a courthouse. So they decided in 1836 that they would begin to put together, I'm sorry, 1835, the courthouse after they plotted out the town. But the first year they appropriated no money. And so it took them a while to get it built. They built one that burnt. They built one in 1857, two stories, a 30 by 48. That one was a little bit expensive, but it burned in 1873. Then they come together and put $10,000 into appropriation for another courthouse. Joe Davis was the superintendent over the project. It burned January 5th, 1884. And then in 1884, A.E. Dye built this one for just under $10,000. And I guess that's the building we're sitting talking in today, right?
Yes, actually, that building, the A.E. Dye building, is the western portion of mm-hmm. this building. The modern building we're sitting in was erected in three shifts, I guess you could call it. The Dye portion over there still sits upon, word has it, the ashes of the other two courthouses. There is a basement, I have been told, or some sort of cellar-type implement. If you go down the trap door, you can apparently still smell the smoke and embers from the previous fires. Yeah.
You ain't never been down there and you're the county clerk?
No, I'm not sure I'd get through that hole in the floor.
Maybe we can send Aaron down there and check it out.
You and I are some large Americans and might not get through that hole in the floor. But that was built and used, and even the jail, part of the wall is brick, and we use that for storage, for cold storage, for recorders, documents, and that type of thing. But then moving west, the center part of the building was added on, and above that is the true courtroom that we use today.
Wow.
It's in very good condition for its age. We try to keep it clean and well conditioned, and it's a very pretty courtroom. And I've seen a few around the state, but ours is real pretty, and it's functional. We have cases run through here all the time. We had 16 murder cases on the docket last year. Yeah, we'll get you. Don't come to Crawford County and kill anybody. We'll get you. And then
16.
16 of them. Yeah,
that's a lot.
That's a ton for this area. That's a ton.
Man.
Problem.
Just a full moon. Well, were there some Cubs fans around here?
I guess part of the problem is that hospital in Sullivan I mentioned. Any sort of suspicious death there is on our side of the mm-hmm. line. So we catch it. But our coroner and our sheriff's department do a good job, and our prosecutor is a – we've had a couple bang-up prosecutors here over the years, and they really are true to their oaths. And I respect that, and I appreciate it, and that's all I've ever asked of anybody is to do the job you said you're going to do. But this you and I are sitting on the second floor in the jury room of the newest part of the building, which was built in 1973. My office is directly below us. We have had many renovations over the years. As a matter of fact, the wall that you see behind you was put up just a few years ago, I think. Or I'm sorry, the door was carved in the wall a couple years ago. That's what that was, to make another courtroom on the other side of this wall. So we have three courtrooms here on our premises. We also have outside buildings that have been added over the years, purchased from other people in the county. We have a collector and assessor's office that sits on the corner. They are both in a singular office there, one-story office. We have our health department is in an old bank that's a couple doors down. It has been modernized and is used for our county health needs. The jail is probably the newest building that we've got. It sits on the south side of the Yadkin Creek, opposite of the courthouse here. It is at least a two-story facility. And you'd have to talk to the sheriff on this. I think they have somewhere in the neighborhood of 120 inmate capacity, and we are over full a lot. I said he does his job. Then we've got a court annex that sits on opposite side of this little alleyway here where we're at. We're just kind of spread out. And ideally, we could be like other counties that are larger more well-financed, that we'd have a justice center. And that could be a very nice goal for this area. But as with the beginnings of the courthouse, we don't often find that people are too willing to fork over dollars for even the best ideas.
Well, I've seen that the first 2 years they appropriated $0 for your first courthouse. So, I mean, that kind of trend sometimes continues. I guess you monitor the situation with the state kind of being behind on paying for inmates.
Well, I don't have to monitor that. I leave that to our sheriff and our circuit clerk. That is their job, actually.
Always interesting to me how folks will make a bunch of laws and make things illegal, but then the state doesn't want to pay for the counties that have to house the folks they're charging with all them new crimes.
I know it. It's, as I say, there's always a better way.
Yeah.
And the better way is not always my way, but there is a better way, and we can all work towards that. But there is a better way of getting money to us in a proper amount of time.
I tell you, you know, you think about that, if you're a Missourian and you don't pay your tax on time, right?
They come right after you.
And you know what? That's fair for everybody. Everybody's got to follow the same rules.
You bet.
But the state can put it off on the counties, and they don't have to pay any interest or penalties.
You bet.
It's kind of a one-way street for the state there.
It is. And some of that, you know, I do feel the brunt of that when elections come up. You know, we are owed election money for statewide elections, and they don't always, you know, pay in a real short amount of time. But we always, you know, I can't complain. We've gotten every penny that we've billed. When it comes in, we get it all. But it comes in on their own sweet time. Now, there are larger counties that have a bigger bill than we do that get it in coughs and spurts, and that's about it. And they may be owed money for months to years. I don't know. But, yeah, we're the same way with our court system. Is the state does owe some back funds, and I'm willing to take them just as soon as they're willing to fork them.
I can send them right
over
here to the courthouse, Stillville, Missouri.
I'll just budget those suckers as soon as they come in.
So now let me talk about the history there. The Civil War touched every county in the state.
Oh, yeah.
It stopped economies. It stopped growth. Now, you guys didn't have a burned courthouse or a razed city, though, right? County was fortunate to miss that. It kind of went north and south of you.
In a manner of speaking, yeah, the mass devastation like that did. There's an interesting I find it interesting. And as an historian, I get some sideways looks from other historians that I'm not a Civil War guy. I just never – it's not that I didn't care for it. I just never got into it. Now, there are some Civil War quote-unquote buffs out there that consider themselves historians. I actually have the parchment to prove it. I've been through – you know, I've got a master's and a bachelor's in history. And,
is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Where at?
My bachelor's was in Columbia College. My master's is from now Missouri State. And then I had another master's in between there.
Always take time to give a shout out to Cliff Smart.
You bet. And you know, there's a fellow down in Springfield. His name is William Piston. Now, he's retired now, been retired for the last couple of years. He was the Civil War man when it came to Civil War education. In my book, anyway, he's been replaced or not replaced. He's still around, but the gentleman who took his tenured spot is Jeremy Neely. And Jeremy and I started our undergrad. We've known each other since high school. And different. He grew up in the little town he grew up. But he grew up on the west end of the state, and I grew up over here. And we met at a nice program called Missouri Boys State in Warrensburg our junior year.
I'm very familiar with it. It is an amazing program.
It is an amazing program.
It touches a lot of lives.
And as an aside, I'm still involved in the program, and anybody who can get involved in that program, I urge you to do so.
Well, it really is something. I have to admit, I'm from down the boot hill. Didn't even know about it, but a couple friends of mine, John Ratliff and Josh Foster, told me about that.
John Ratliff. I know both of them.
And, well, I hate that for you, but I wish we had something better in common. But they were telling about this program. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't get my head around it until I went there and seen it. A friend of mine, Matt Dammer, has been active in it.
Yeah.
And just seeing it is
– I apologize for that.
Yeah, well, you know. You
can't pick your friends.
Yeah, that's right. It was shocking to me what an amazing thing that is. And it honestly took me seeing it to get my head around what a special experience that is.
Yeah, it is. And you know, we have about 1,000 young men each summer come into this program, and it'll change your life.
Yeah.
And I tell every last one of them, it will literally change your life. You will go home a different person than when you came in. So that little plug aside, Jeremy and I met there, and he's now in charge of the Civil War History program at Missouri State University. But that's where I got my finished up my master's in history. So I've got the parchment on the wall, and some of these Civil War buffs will know a little more about this because they study it more. My background is my milieu in history is naval special warfare. So,
be a lot of naval battles here in Crawford County.
Yeah, no. Well, but you know, we'll not get into that. But any of you old frogs from Korea, especially, I'd like to talk to you. So get a hold of Missouri Times or get a hold of me here in Crawford County. At any rate, there was they called it the Thermopylae of the West, the Battle of Pilot Knob there in the Arcadia Valley. And at the end of this, skirmish, this was the second raid Sterling Price had made into the state. And he had General Marmaduke and John Shelby and some of these guys. So they were originally going to go to St. Louis and try to disrupt the
St. Louis didn't have any defenses.
St. Louis had very few defenses, and they thought they could take the town right away and then shuttle off into Jeff City and take the state and ruin everybody's lives there. But part of that was to disrupt the iron supply coming out of iron-rich southeastern Missouri here. And had they stuck with the original plan, they might have been at least halfway successful. But Sterling Price had a long-standing beef with Willie T. Sherman, and he just hated Sherman something fierce. Sherman's brother-in-law, Thomas Ewing, was the general in charge of the Fort Donelson there.
Folks that listen to this show will remember that name. He signed the notorious general order that burned about four counties in the state of Missouri.
Order number 11.
Missourians. Probably the worst thing the federal government may have ever done to its own citizens.
Quite possibly.
History always sides with the winners, and I think in the Civil War, I think it'd be hard to argue the North wasn't on the morally right side. But in the Civil War, Missouri was quite complicated.
Sure.
And Thomas Ewing's somebody that if you can make him into a good guy, you're more creative than this hillbilly.
Well, the Trans-Mississippi Valley was, it was a different world from Eastern fighting or Southern fighting in the Civil War. And I think, as with all wars, they did what they thought they needed to do to get the job done. And so Ewing was there at Fort Davidson, and it was just a powder emplacement. They were holding armaments, and Confederates came through that valley on a side trip.
Yeah.
Now they could have bypassed and been fine, but on this little side trip, Price wanted to shove it to Ewing, and so they started this little skirmish, and Ewing absconded in the middle of the night with his troops. They ended up marching about 67.
After killing a ton of the Southern.
Killed a ton of Confederates. It was like 10 to 1. There was 200, 200-some dead, 800 wounded on the Confederate side, and only 24 casualties on the northern end. But in the middle of the night, about 3 a.m., they set the powder on, fired, and took off and got about 10 miles or so ahead of the Confederate troops as they marched through the woods. 67 miles in 33 hours, I believe. I read somewhere one time that was like the fifth fastest long march in military history.
Wow.
Yeah, and I mean that's not U.S. military history. Yeah, that's period. Military history. We're talking Sparta, Athens, Napoleon, Rome. Yeah. You bet. And I mean they were really hoofing it. Now by the time they got up to Leesburg, which was the end of that march, Leesburg here in Crawford County, they had lost half again their number. Now I don't know. Lost is the word that I'm always seeing. I don't know if that was due to casualty or people running off or whatever. Yeah. But by the time they got to Leesburg, they had a decimated force, basically. Good news was there were 500 Union troops that came to the rescue, mm-hmm. just as the Confederates were pulling up on them there at Leesburg, and there was a little skirmish there, and the Union troops were able to get out of that and take the railroad spur down to Rolla in Phelps County, which was the end of the spur at that time.
And which was a big Union garrison, right?
A huge Union garrison down there, yeah. But in retaliation, as they came through the rest of Crawford County there in 1864, Shelby had some troops tear up the railroad tracks. They made some ties into ribbons and burned up some rails and just really caused some havoc. They looted a couple stores, I think, and not too many physical casualties there, but just tearing up the streets and whatnot.
Well, it's interesting that the Civil War in Missouri is a very complicated thing, much more complicated than maybe any other state. They had a meeting early on in Cuba where they had a big town hall, and the discussion ended up being against secession. They even passed a resolution out of their meeting. However, it was not to support the Union either. It was just not to succeed. And interesting enough, a guy named E.A. Pennell, who was the leader of that meeting, who was opposed to secession, ended up joining the Missouri Home Guard. It's what Governor Jackson had set up to mm-hmm. guard Missouri against both the Union and the Confederacy.
Right.
It was interesting how there were several regiments were ultimately formed out of Crawford County for the Union. But before the end of the war, they took four regiments of people from this county and served in the Union Army. But I guess my question would be, most every county was either Union or Confederate. Around here, how do people remember the Civil War? Was this a Union county or Confederate county?
Yeah, see, and I can't rightly answer that. I mean, you know, as a kid, part of the reason I wasn't really into the Civil War, it just wasn't talked about in my circles. You know, it was I know my family in particular, I had he would have been my great-great-great-grandfather, John Wesley Martin. He was a circuit riding preacher, I guess you'd
call him.
An old horseback preacher. He was arrested during the Civil War for not swearing an oath of allegiance to the state government and then to the federal government. And he said, you know, as a religious man, I don't swear allegiance to anybody but God. And so that got him in a little trouble. Now, they overturned that later on because others agreed with him, and that mm-hmm. law was not one of the better ones that Missouri had come up with. But whether he was for the North or for the South, I think you kind of hit that as the Home Guard is we're for us.
Yeah.
And we want to be left alone. And that really today is kind of a modern sentiment in Crawford County.
I think there are a lot of us hillbillies that are like it.
We don't get real wrapped up in we got 99 problems and yours ain't one. You know, and so anything that comes on a national scale, we tend to harp on that and whatnot, but it's more the local politics, and same as it should be. It's local politics that really guide what we're doing here. We mind our own business. We want you to mind your own business.
Well, 99 problems and yours ain't one. We ain't going to top that, so we're going to take a break. Before we do that, I want to thank our sponsors, the Missouri Farm Bureau, Missouri Association Electric Co-ops, and Missouri Association of Counties. Let us come and talk about the history of Missouri and beautiful places like on this fine. This might be the first real day of spring we're getting to be here, and there's not a prettier place to be in the state of Missouri than in Steelville here in Crawford County, Missouri. We'll be right back after this.
We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for road trips. We're for covering as much ground as possible on 2, 4, or 18 wheels. We're for drop tops, T-tops, classics, cruisers, pickup trucks, and dump trucks. We're for displaying Missouri plates like medals of pride. Have you ever hit a deer? Yep, we're for you too. We're for getting stuck behind a tractor on a two-lane highway. And if you're a Missouri driver, we have an auto policy for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back. Show me Missouri, the history of Missouri, one county at a time. This week we are in Crawford County in Steelville, in beautiful Steelville, downtown. One of the true, real, got the old-time flavor of downtowns. If you want to come and see what a, get that Mayberry almost feeling of a downtown, come here to Steelville in Crawford County. And we're lucky to be here in the courthouse with the hospitality of the county clerk, Mr. John Martin. Thank you for sticking with us.
No problem.
Let's keep talking about the history. You know, you always kind of go through and chart things that changed. The Civil War touched, even if it was just Leesburg, touched every county. Also, the railroad. There was a St. Louis-Salem-Little Rock Railroad, come through 1871, touched through the county. Changed, no matter how that railroad came through, spurs, however it touched, it totally changed the economic activity of the county. Now, after that, it was Highway 44. Some would call it Highway 66, Interstate 44. As 66 came through, it cuts right through that edge of Crawford County. Even President Truman came through, right? Going down Route 66.
Sure.
What's the legacy of that, especially up in Cuba?
Route 66, much like 44, I think Route 66 covers some 32 miles. I mean, it's a longer stretch than 44 because there's some turns through it. The old two-lane roads, I'm not sure they had a surveyor who could see a straight line at that time, but they got the job done. 66 now brings in a lot of folks during the summer. We get a lot of car groups, and by that I mean there are several groups from Europe who either own or rent, you know, Corvettes or Porsches or whatever the car du jour is, and they all come in a big group from Chicago to L.A. and we're a stop along the tour.
There's Americana.
It is. It's absolutely it's the old mother road, you know, and I guess they think they can get some kicks in Cuba. So they do, and they come through. And one of the bigger things Cuba has done over the last 20 years, if it's been 20 years, I think they started, was this mural program. We are the mural city of the Ozarks, and there are several artists who have local artists who have painted large murals having to do with local culture and local history on the exterior brick walls of some local structures. I think, and I'd say don't quote me, but we're on permanent record here. I think there are 14 of them in Cuba.
Right. What's your favorite?
I kind of had a hand in the Civil War mural. I had to track down a little bit on that. But there was a kid named Chip Lang, old C. William Lang IV. He's still around. Good kid. His parents are attorneys here locally. And for his Eagle Scout project, he raised money, found an artist, and put together there's a four to five panel mural on Buchanan Street, named at the time that Buchanan was actually president, I believe, on Buchanan Street, that covers what we just spoke about in the last section about the Pilot Knob raid and then coming up into Leesburg. And it was very well done. And if you look very hard, you can see Chip's face in the background as one of the Union soldiers. Chip is a big Civil War buff around here, and so that was his project and did a great job with it. But we have murals dedicated to Betty Davis's visit to Cuba, President Truman's visit as he was campaigning, Amelia Earhart touching down in the area at the local airfield. There are one of the first ones they did was based on the apple production that we had. There were groves and groves of apple trees, and that was Cuba's big cash crop up until the point that, I guess, modernization took over. Yeah. People started plowing under fields and building buildings and moving along with life. But in that western part of town where Amanda, you know, was started, there were apple orchards everywhere, and it was a big cash crop. And so We just have murals dedicated to a lot of stuff. There's one dedicated to the Bass family for the canoeing liveries that they owned around here. Mm-hmm. And it's on Highway 19, and every visitor through here on their way to one of the rafting facilities can see it out there. Cuba's very proud of that, and they do a lot to market that. They do a lot to keep those up.
Sure.
It's really something neat to see, and we get a lot of visitors either come in with their car groups, or we get a lot of people who are just on their own. They stop and they grab a bite at one of the local restaurants, and they walk up and down the streets taking pictures and making sure that they get to experience those murals. That's a big part of the Route 66 culture in Cuba. We also have businesses that have been along 66 seemingly forever. Like the Wagon Wheel Motel is still open for business. It's been renovated as of recently, but I want to say it opened in somewhere around 1937. As a waypoint, just stop off, grab you a room and a bite to eat on your way down to the next state. It still functions. We've got lots of restaurants around here that market based on being on 66. One of the best barbecue joints you'll ever find, Mohick Barbecue there in Cuba. They've got some good food. They've been featured on the Discovery Channel, or maybe the Learning Channel, one of those educational channels for their wares and. Boy, they can put out a plate. They really can do it.
Well, let's talk about a few of the famous folks that have come from Crawford County. We'll start with the President of the Senate, Frank Ferris, in 1901. Speaker of the House, B.F. Russell, in 1895. Congressman Albert Reeves was a congressman in 1947, was actually from Crawford County. But I think maybe the person that folks would recognize, or the name that popped off to me, was George Hearst, born in Cuba. He was a senator from California. He was maybe even better known as building the fortune that his son, William Randolph Hearst, ended up taking. And if you've ever heard of the movie Citizen Kane, that would be a grandson of Cuba, Missouri. That's kind of fashioned after. I tell you what, I'm familiar with a lot of the famous folks from Missouri. George Hearst is one I think I'd forgot was actually from Missouri and from Crawford County.
As had I.
It's an interesting thing, though. Right? You talk about a name, and with connections to Missouri, that name is still famous worldwide for the media empire mm-hmm. that his son created, and he created with the fortune that he made. An industrious Missouri boy went to California and did well.
Then the SLA took part of it later on down the road,
yep.
didn't they?
Yep,
they got a piece of it.
Interesting. Another interesting note, in 1990, the Mean Population Center. It was in Phelps County for a while, then it moved over to Crawford County. That's kind of a neat thing to know, that we're within 10, 20 miles of where the average population center is.
You are right now within 3 miles
of
the marker. Yeah, it was here in Steelville. It's down in the city park is where the marker is. Mm-hmm. And it's actually on the hill just outside the city park. Looks like a tombstone. They placed a monument to the population center and from the 1990 census out there. And, yeah, it moved from west to east and then started moving back west again. So I think in 2000 it was in, just southwest of here, around Waynesville.
Yep.
The Waynesville-St. Robert area. Just south of that, I think, south of the interstate. But, yeah, they were very proud for that decade. National Geographic came out and did an article on the city of Steelville. It wasn't really that complimentary.
Yeah, most of these coast folks say that complimentary. They come out.
Yeah, but they played it up. They did like Cuba, you know. They market it, sell it. And, mm-hmm. and so people will come see that. And it is an interesting attraction to see that. It's a point of pride in the city, and people still talk about it, and they like it.
First newspaper was the Crawford Mirror in 1874. Tell me about the newspaper today.
I'm not sure you want me talking about journalism.
We're used to it.
I make the joke, and it is a joke, that lawyers, insurance brokers, and journalists are the top three in my list of my least loved. But the newspaper around here is in Steelville is the Steelville Star. Cuba is the Cuba Free Press. Both are owned by Three Rivers Publishing, currently owned
by... Where are they out of?
The headquarters, if you could call it that, is in Cuba, I guess. Mm-hmm. Rob Veman is the current publisher, current owner of those papers. He also owns the St. James Free Press, or yeah. I think whatever that paper is called. They publish there in St. James and Phelps County, but all three of those lines are marketed under Three Rivers Publishing. The city of Sullivan also has a Sullivan Independent News that covers this area. We get, for our commission meetings, we have coverage from both papers.
Really?
Uh-huh. And Sullivan does a really good job of getting into us when they wouldn't really have to.
Mm-hmm.
The population there in West Sullivan that is in Crawford County is small.
Yeah.
Really small, and they wouldn't have to do that, but they do it, and I'm appreciative of it. I guess it fills up a couple pages in their paper where normally they would be looking for news.
Yep.
But I must say that even when my bias against journalists is out there, and I don't hate journalists, I really don't.
Sometimes we do plenty to have it coming.
I have many friends in the industry, but. Like any other citizen, I can take issue with what's written. I'm like, that just ain't right.
Don't dish it out if you just can't ain't take right. it.
Yeah, you bet.
The Steelville Bank was chartered in 1884, became the Crawford County Farmers Bank. President was G.W. Matlock.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the financial community today.
Farmers Bank went bankrupt, I believe, during the Depression.
Yeah.
And, was going through. My great grandfather had quite a few funds in there. As a farmer, my great grandfather was a farmer in the Cherryville area, and on the land originally deeded to the family, which is now everything just south of Cherry Valley Bridge to the Cottrell store there at the crossroads of 47 and 19, large tracts of lands. And he owned all of it. He ran cattle. He ran orchards. He ran a lot of stuff off there. And he left quite a bit to his family, but he also lost quite a bit when the Depression mm-hmm. came around. But that bank went out. As far as finances today, we have you know how banks are. They have a headquarters in one spot, and they like to branch out into different areas. People's Bank of Cuba has been People's Bank of Cuba for over 100 years. Same family has been at the helm, the Barnett family. They are good citizens around here. They like to look out for the welfare of the county, and they're very good at doing that. They're very helpful. So People's Bank has branch just directly across the street here in Steelville.
Is that the People's County coming out of Wayne County?
No. This is
that's pure, chartered here?
Purely Crawford County.
Well, I think that shows a lot for a community when they have a local.
Purely Crawford County. We've got
can't beat that.
We got two of them.
Who's the other?
FCNB, First Community National Bank, was the former Bank of Steelville.
Yeah.
They've changed names as they've gained accreditation through the mm-hmm. years, but that is owned and managed by the Perkins family, who are Steelville staples.
That means a lot when you having one, but having two local banks,
yep, absolutely.
It puts a different absolutely. Feel to your community mm-hmm. that you can't hardly beat when the sure. owner lives in the community.
Yeah,
it means
and those two in the city or town of Steelville, those two banks are it. If you want a bank in Steelville, you bank there. In Cuba, you've got People's and the FCNB, but Bank of Sullivan. Obviously, out of Sullivan has the Cuba Banking Center, the branch there in Cuba. So that's it's another possibility, they're all sorts of places to keep your money. There's no sense in throwing it under the mattress these days.
I think sometimes having that local things, they just have a different stake in the community. Whether
they
it comes
absolutely
to lending
do.
Or support, it just is a you know having a bank's a great institution, but having that local bank just means a lot.
Yeah, Town and Country Bank in Bourbon is very helpful. They've all been very good, not just for their local towns, but countywide.
Yeah.
They do what they can to help out everybody, and well, when they keep that money flowing and they're able to lend and people can process that and really lead decent lives, our quality goes up.
Speaking of things that matter, the Crawford County Electric Co-op, established in 1940, you could just the last thing that touched every county is when you ran power to the farms, it really changed the way of life and really probably preserved the way of life for folks in rural Missouri. Tell us about the co-op.
The co-op is located between Bourbon and West Sullivan there on the northern portion of I-44. Within the last handful of years, they've rebuilt from the small entity they are into a much larger facility. They've got a nice brick-and-mortar structure there where they house their offices, but then they've got their sheds back and back where they've got their trucks and their gear. I'm not sure how many people they employ, but however many it is, they get the job done.
Yeah.
I don't live in a co-op serviced area anymore. I live within the city limits of Cuba, so I have city utilities, city power. But I grew up north of Cuba, out in the woods,
yeah.
And we had co-op power. And I can count on one hand the number of times that it was out and out for more than a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
And the co-op has always done well. As a matter of fact, my grandmother, before she passed, she always commented that when the co-op came to the farm, as she called it, she had saved up her ironing for an entire week so she could use the brand new electric iron she'd purchased, and she did it too. She Dad said she went out and she saved all that up, and probably the only brand new appliance she ever owned in her life, but just because it was brand new itself. But
well, let me ask you about the schools. In 1838, there was a bit of a record of a small school, and then they started putting together a fund. The first, they called them normal schools, come mm-hmm. the 1850s, mm-hmm. Before the war, which is pretty early. Not a lot of Missouri didn't have it until, well, after the war. But tell me about the schools today. You know, tell me about that rivalry between Steelville and Cuba. That's what I want to hear about.
Well, I said it's not as big as an MUKU or a, you know, Texas, Oklahoma kind of thing, but
depends on where you're from, I guess.
Well, I guess that's absolutely true. I don't see it a lot now. I don't participate in a lot of high school sports. I've got, you know, as an adult, I have other things going on, and I don't have kids in the school districts. But
now you're a Cuba guy, though.
I'm a Cuba guy, though.
So you made the trip down.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah,
you bet. We
I tell you, in West Butler County, I went to Neelyville. And in East Butler County, they had Twin Rivers in by George. I hate Twin Rivers. I don't even like the color blue to this day because of it. Now, as time went on, I got one of the better players on their team and me become pretty good friends. But up until then, boy, I hated those folks. I mean, yeah. I knew hate.
Yeah. Well, we had the exception of kind of a three-way rivalry. When I went to high school in the early 90s, there were, you know, my class in particular had a lot of jocks. I mean, you were – But jocks who could do the classwork. I mean, we had smart people playing sports, and that's always a good thing, folks. For you kids listening out there, do your homework, learn something.
It'll be the exception.
That's right. It'll be the exception for a lot of places. Yeah. So, you know, depending on what sport was going on, there was an intense rivalry between Steelville and Cuba, or Cuba and Bourbon, or Bourbon and Steelville. You know, just from my own experience, Bourbon had a couple guys on their baseball team who could just whip it past you, and that's all right. But other than that, they were, you know, we could beat them. That's all right. Steelville was a little more of a challenge. Basketball-wise, that was the sport. I mean, and all three schools held their own. And any given year, it was who's going to get to conference, who's
going to
district.
Well, there ain't much better. I tell you, now, I know in some bigger towns, the football games on Friday night really bring it out. But you get a cold winter night, and two schools like Steelville and Cuba playing each other, and that gym will be 110.
Oh yeah,
and every inch of them bleachers is full. That is a part of rural Missouri life. I personally don't even really like basketball watching that much, but I still remember you get that gym just right on a cold night, and two real good rivals going at it, yelling at those referees. Now that's just fun. There ain't much more fun than that.
Yeah, I I wasn't real good at basketball.
Well, me neither. And, I played some baseball.
Well, I played some baseball, threw a little shot put, and I wasn't horrible at that. But my big thing going to basketball, and it evolved when I got to college. I went to college and did the same thing. But I was one of those who like to heckle the refs a little bit and well, other players, and
they're paid to
and
be there.
I've been in some arenas where we got the volume up over, you know, 110 decibels or so. But Cuba's gym at that time, a little bitty Cracker Jack box place, brick walls, and a rubber floor.
Oh, really?
Only gym I've ever seen with a rubber floor. It looks exactly like those old wrestling mats they roll out, you know. But it's still there, I believe. And they still use it.
That's kind of the best gyms. And tiny ones that just gets everybody
place.
Packed.
Oh, man, you're right.
You're right on the court.
It was hot and loud, and everybody just like a barn. Everybody just stacked up on top of each other and saw some real good games there. But, you know, you're right. That rivalry is good. As far as academics go, you know, I think Steelville as a school is growing. Their population seems to be growing, whereas, you know, Bourbon doesn't get there's not a lot of change in their population. I don't see from the September membership that Desi puts out. Cuba's fluctuates up and down a few kids, but Cuba by far is the largest district, then Steelville, then Bourbon are, you know, and they could flip-flop either way. But, yeah, Steelville's high school is far out of town, and the elementary and middle school are right in town. Bourbon and Cuba, they're K through 12 are right on the same property.
Yep.
So that makes Steelville kind of unique. I mean, you got to work to get to the high school if you're going to get out there. But academically, I think they hold their own. There's some great teachers around here. Not many from when I was a kid. It's been 26 years since I've gotten out of school. And, you know, they retire and, you know, leave this mortal coil, and that's just how that works. But I think their legacy will be just fine as long as students are willing to learn. There's teachers there to give them the information.
Well, I tell you, I've enjoyed learning about the history of Crawford County. Commissioner, I thank you for the hospitality. I've had a good time with the visit.
Well, we'll take you anytime you want. Sorry, I get stories we got.
You'll have me here in the summer displacing a little bit of that water. I've never had a bad time down at Hoosaw Valley. Never once.
Yeah.
But always want to thank our sponsors. We wouldn't be able to come to beautiful places like Steelville, Missouri without the Missouri Association of Electric Co-ops, Missouri Association of Counties, and Missouri Farm Bureau. If you're not a member of Farm Bureau and you live in rural Missouri, why not? You got to have somebody. Trust me, there's folks looking out for the city people. There is no shortage of folks looking out for St. Louis and Kansas City. Farm Bureau is the folks that actually look out for the rest of us. You ought to look into joining. I've not only been a member for some time, my son has been a member all but two weeks of his life.
Wow.
He might not be the youngest one anymore, but I'm pretty sure Blake told me when he joined he was the youngest. Gussie has been a member all but 2 weeks, so you ought to look into doing it. And we'll hope you'll look into listen to our next edition. We're going to have fun next week because we're going to be in the county of St. Francois down in Farmington. We're going to have Kevin Engler. And I don't know that I'll get a word in edgewise, but I'm going to tell you there is, if you don't enjoy listening to Kevin Engler talk about hogs, dogs, and logs for an hour, then you ain't a true Missourian. We'll see you next week here on Showing Missouri, the History of Missouri, one county at a time.